Stating the auspicious appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev and the auspicious disappearance day of Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, we'll read something from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the Puranas. Puranas means history, and in the Puranas there are more than 22 different histories of Lord Nrisimhadev, because Lord Nrisimhadev, he comes more than one time. As far as I understand, according to the Lagu Bhagavatamrita by Srila Jiva Goswami, the Nrisimhadev that's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that we're reading, it appeared in the 6th Manvantara. Right now we're in the 7th Manvantara. Brahma is 50 years old. He's middle-aged now. And it's daytime, it's in 12 o'clock, in case you want to set your time for universal time. Right now it's 12 o'clock, maybe a little after 12, a tiny bit. And we're now there are 14 manvantaras in one day of Brahma, I believe. And now we're in the 7th manvantara. And this Lord Nrisimhadev appeared in the 6th Manvantara, in between Satya Yuga and Treta, in case you want to give the exact time. And therefore, if we find other descriptions about Lord Nrisimhadev elsewhere, we shouldn't become confused. Sometimes Lord Nrisimhadev appears, some of the deities have two arms, some of them have four, some six, some eight, ten. Lord Nrisimhadev, he displayed thousands of arms when he was killing the soldiers of Hiranyakashipu. We celebrate by his appearance day because there are many other appearance days of the avatars, such as Matsya and Korma, but we don't observe it in the same way because, according to the Vaishnava Acharyas, that Lord Nrisimhadev is one of the Paravasta. Paravasta. So para means supreme, and avasta means to be situated in a condition. So he's one of the supreme avatars. The other two are Lord Ramachandra and Lord Krishna. And here Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Lord Nrisimhadev, because Lord Nrisimhadev, as the other incarnations, he has purpose. Krishna is not coming for a vacation to the material world. Here he has some work to do. It's his pastimes, but as he's performing his pastimes, he also has some mission. So we'll read this, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text 43.
Na
eva
udvije
para durakya vaitaranya
tvat
virya
gayana
maha amrita magna chita
shoche
ita
vimukha
ketasa
indriya
artha
maya
sukhaya
param
udvahata
vimudan
naiva dvide paradarakya vaitaranyas Padvirya gayana mahamrita magna chita
Sho
cheta to vimukha cheta sa indriyarta Maya sukhaya varam udvaha to vimudam
Maya sukhaya varam udvaha to vimudam
Not.
Eva.
Certainly. Udvije. I am disturbed or afraid.
I am disturbed or afraid.
Para.
O Supreme.
Duratyaya.
Duratyaya.
Insurmountable or very difficult to cross.
Insurmountable or very difficult to cross.
Vaitaranya. Of the Vaitarani. The river of the material world. Twat. Virya. Of your lordship's glories and activities. Gayana. From chanting or distributing. Maha-amrita, in the great ocean of nectarian spiritual bliss. Magna-chitta, whose consciousness is absorbed. Shoche, I am simply lamenting. Tata, from that. Vimukha Chetasa, the fools and rascals who are bereft of Krishna consciousness. Indriya Artha,
and
sense gratification.
Maya Sukhaya,
for temporary illusory happiness. Varam, the false burden or responsibility. Of maintaining one's family. Society and nation. And elaborate arrangements for that purpose. Udvahata, who are lifting. By making grand plans for this arrangement. Vimudhan, although all of them are nothing but fools, and rascals. I am thinking of them also. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness, maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Purport. Throughout the entire world, everyone is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries in the material world. And this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they have all been described herein as vimuda, fools. The material world has been described in Bhagavad Gita as dukalayam ashasvatam, temporary and miserable. But these fools are trying to turn the material world into sukalayam, a place of happiness. Not knowing how everything acts by the arrangement of material nature, which works in her own way. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. There is a plan for material nature, personally known as Durga, or Durga, to punish the demons. Although the asuras, the godless demons, struggle for existence, they are directly attacked by the goddess Durga, who is well equipped with 10 hands with different types of weapons to punish them. She is carried by her lion carrier, or the modes of passion and ignorance. Everyone struggles very hard to fight through the modes of passion and ignorance and conquer material nature, but at the end everyone is vanquished by nature's laws. There is a river known as Vaitarani between the material and spiritual worlds, and one must cross this river to reach the other side, or the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Daiviye Shagunamayi Mamamaya Dharatyaya. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. The same word, Dharatyaya, meaning very difficult, is used here. Therefore, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in this material world. Therefore, they have been described as vimuda, first-class fools. As for Prahlada Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy, for although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. Those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, are not unhappy, whereas those who have no assets in Krishna consciousness, and is struggling for existence, is not only foolish, but extremely unhappy also. Prahlada Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being Krishna conscious. Yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. Naiva dvide paradaratya daitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magnishita so shoche tatovi mukache tasa indriyarta maya sukhaya bharam udvahatovi mudan. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Siddharane. This pastime has a lot to do with space. Space is mentioned many times here. Good space and bad space. Good space is called Su means good and Ka means space. So Sukha means when you're in good space. And Du means bad and Ka means space. So Dukha means bad space. The Kumaras, they were just going everywhere, looking for some good space. And finally they entered through the material universes into the spiritual sky, and there they saw Vaikuntha airplanes flying everywhere. And everything was very beautiful, and they went through six gates of Vaikuntha, and everywhere the space was getting better. Vaikuntha is plenty of good space because it's unlimited. It's unlimited happiness, and so there's unlimited good space. No one feels crowded in Vaikuntha. There's no housing shortage. There's plenty of space for everyone. And everyone there is unlimited. Everything's unlimited. There's no restriction, in other words. But when they got through the sixth gate, suddenly two gatekeepers appeared, or they were there, the four Kumaras appeared, and two gatekeepers stopped them from entering through the seventh gate, the last gate. Saying, because, after all, the four Kumaras were little boys, 5 years old, and they're completely naked. So for one thing, as we find out later in the pastime, that Krishna told the gatekeepers that he wanted to take a nap and that no one should disturb him. And we find out that Lakshmi Devi was trying to get in to see Krishna, Narayan, and the gatekeepers stopped her and they got cursed by her. She became angry. It's hard sometimes. doing your duty, whatever you do, you get into trouble. Either they would have gotten in trouble with Lord Narayan, or they would have gotten in trouble with Lakshmi Devi. So they chose Lakshmi Devi. But obviously it caused little problems for them. But it was part of their own personal desire to serve the Lord. In any case, that curse manifested as the four Kumaras, cursing them also to take three births as demons within this material world. This material world is known as all bad space. Or Durga. Du means bad and Ga means to go. So it's difficult to go here. Dharatiya. It's very difficult to get anywhere here. In every sense of the term. Especially in the sense of the term to make some progress. Everyone is trying to go somewhere where it's better. Now that you can go on the airplanes, you find everyone flying everywhere, trying to find some better place. Unfortunately, because of all the pollution caused by the airplanes, every place has become more and more polluted. There is no good place. But, or as Krishna says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Avartano Jana Mamupetya Tu Kunteya Punar Janmana Vidite. From the highest planet to the lowest, they're all problematic because repeated birth and death take place. So here was two gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay, and they had become Haranyaksha and Haranyakashipu. And Haranyaksha, he looked everywhere for some fun, some fight, some place where he'd feel comfortable. But as we find out that he was killed by the boar incarnation, Varahadev. And now, Haranyakashipu, he also wants to feel comfortable in the material world. He doesn't feel comfortable. And why doesn't he feel comfortable? Because he knew that he had to die. That's why no one feels very comfortable in the material world. Even, we can take it for granted that even Bill Gates, with all his billions of dollars, he doesn't feel very comfortable. Because, no matter where he is, death is imperceptibly taking his life away. He's being an assassin is there. Kalosmi Varatarshava. Time is assassinating him along with the rest of the universe. Kalosmi Shaye Krit Prarido Lokansa Mahartum Iha Parita Itepi Twam Nava Vishanti Sarve Yevastita Pratnyuke Shiyoda. Krishna says, time I am and I'm killing everyone. Except for very few persons who are devotees, who are transcendental, everyone here is being crushed by the wheel of time. But Haranyakashipu, his idea was, somehow or another, get free from the influence of time. Then if I can free myself from time, then there's some possibility of actually controlling the material world. Since everyone here has come here to control the material world, so the first business that everyone should have is to stop death. How can we claim to be the controller if the very means that I'm controlling things with are being taken away from it? If I'm claiming that, you know, this rug is mine, but it's being slipped underneath my foot at the same time, but what is the meaning? It's mine. What is the meaning that I am this body, or this body is mine, when it's being taken away from us, imperceptibly? Hiranyakashipu, knowing well that if he wanted to enjoy Haranya, economic development, or gold, and Kashipu, a soft bed to lie on, as soon as one wants, in order to get economic development, we need eating. We have to eat, and then there we have to have some economic development to eat. And to sleep, for sex life and defending, we need money. So he wanted gold, Haranya. But he had big, big plans. He wanted to enjoy this material world forever. So he needed a lot of gold. At least he wasn't planning to pay for insurance, which is quite costly nowadays. But at that time, he just wanted to take control of the universe. So he wanted gold, and he wanted a soft bed. Eat and sleep, have sex, defend. This is Kashyapu. And he knew in order to actually enjoy these things, he had to become immortal. Because all of us, we are immortal. We're all like Prahlad. Prahlad, pra means great. And lada means ecstasy or bliss. So Prahlad means the greatest bliss. So all of us originally are in the greatest bliss. Like Prahlad. And Hiranyakashipu, he was also in the greatest bliss originally as one of the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha. But suddenly he was in bad space. He just took the wrong path. He got misled as to the solution to his problems. So he thought the solution to his problems was to break out of material existence by executing tapasya. Of course he got the right idea. Tapodivyam putrakayena sadvam. But his tapasya was to become powerful to conquer death. To conquer Krishna, because Krishna says, I am time, to conquer over time. So Prahlad was one who surrendered to Krishna, and Hiranyakashipu was one who wanted to conquer Krishna. But both of them had the same idea, to get out of the restrictions caused by this material existence. So Prahlad Maharaj said that he didn't even care about crossing over material existence, because factually, as soon as one is Krishna conscious, then there is no material existence. And as long as one is not Krishna conscious, then all there is material existence. Because material existence means the absence of Krishna. As soon as one is forgetful of Krishna, then at once one is in the material ocean of suffering. But the foolish people do not know this, therefore they're called vimudha. Mudha, of course, is the ass who works hard just to get a little straw that's between his feet. But vimudha, as we know, vi means very super. So vimudha means super ass. Even during Prahlad Maharaj's time, people were not just asses, but those who were working hard to create a civilization simply directed towards sense gratification. They were called super asses. The ass will work hard for a little straw. But the super asses will work hard to build big machines to manufacture, to process the straw and package the straw and transport the straw. They'll work 100 times more than the ass to get the straw. And not only that, they'll make all kinds of propaganda and educate all their followers how their civilization is advanced because they're working so hard for straw that everyone should love and appreciate them, their effort to get the straw, and how sophisticated they made the straw. That practically the straw is worshipable, etc. Therefore it's called Vimudha. But Prahlad Maharaj, he had already understood that this is a waste of time. It's an illusion. Therefore, he was not interested in crossing beyond material existence. He was interested in becoming more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. When Lord Nrisimhadev offered him a benediction, what would you like? After all, Lord Nrisimhadev had just killed his father. People walk in, as we mentioned before, into our temple room and see as we're glorifying Lord Nrisimhadev, and everywhere there's blood. Prahlad is, as I mentioned before, there was a big trial in America, and at the trial they were suing the devotees because one girl had left her parents and joined the Hare Krishna movement. And joining the Hare Krishna movement, her parents were looking for her, and her father became very disturbed and had a heart attack and died. They were claiming that the persons who were suing the Hare Krishna movement were claiming that the Hare Krishnas are against the family. Therefore, they were happy to see that her father had died. And as proof of that, they brought in this picture of Lord Nrisimhadev. And one of the devotees was on the stand, and they said, "Who is this a picture of?" And they said, "This is Lord Nrisimhadev." "And who is Lord Nrisimhadev?" "He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead." "Is he your God?" "Yes, he's our God." "And who is this?" "This is Hiranyakashipu." "And who is this?" "This is Prahlad." "Is it true that Hiranyakashipu was the son was the father of Prahlad?" "Yes, it is true." "And is this true that Lord Nrisimhadev, your God, is killing the father of Prahlad?" "Yes, it is true." "And it is true that Prahlad is offering a garland to the killer of his father, your God?" "Yes, it is true. Your Honor, I have no further questions." So, obviously, materialists will misunderstand Lord Nrisimhadev, and probably, undoubtedly, they will identify themselves more with Hiranyakashipu. After all, he's just trying to make a living and enjoy life. And he worked hard for it. And all he did was try and discipline his little boy, but his little boy wouldn't listen to him, so what could he do? He got angry. What else would anyone, normal person, do? And his assassin just popped in out of nowhere to assassinate him. Even Lord Jagannath, the materialist, they say, "Look at this, this is their God. See that big smile, so red? Why is it red? Because his mouth is full of blood." That's what the British were saying. That's where the word I got, the Jagannath. They had his word Jagannath, Jagannath, which means a unstoppable procession of things. What do they call it? Hitler did his, and they did that big, very blitz. What do they call that blitz when they used to, when the troops would invade very rapidly?
Blitzkrieg.
Yeah, blitz. So that's the same thing as Jagannath. So they said Jagannath when he gets on his chariot, because they used to think that his chariot would just roll over people. People would just throw themselves in front of the wheels and get rolled over by Jagannath. So Jagannath was just coming in his chariot just to roll over the people. So they called it Jagannath. And his big smile was because of his, he'd eat the people, I guess, and drink up their blood. That was their conception of their God. That's why he was so happy. And similarly, Lord Nrisimhadev was just ripping apart happily Hiranyakashipu, and his brainwashed son was just garling him because he became a zombie. He didn't know what he was doing. But actually, the truth is a little bit different. That everyone is going to be killed by Lord Nrisimhadev. We may not like Lord Nrisimhadev, those who are materialists, those who are interested in soft beds and gold, but Lord Nrisimhadev is coming to kill them also. They may not want to bow down before Lord Nrisimhadev. They may not want his protection. They may even criticize him, but after all, through his material energy, he's killing them imperceptibly, and if they're fortunate enough, some of them will be killed by him personally. But in any case, he's the supreme controller. Daivi yesha gunamayi, mama maya dharatiya, mam eva ye pravadyante, mayam ekam dharantite. And whatever plans the materialists are making to become happy in this material world, Krishna says, Mogaisha Moga Karamano, Moga Jnana Vichetasaha, Rakshasim Asrim Chaiva, Prakriti Moinim Shritaha. That their hopes of liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge will all be defeated because they won't find any good place in this material world. It's all bad space. And even they try and get out of the material world, they can't get out of it as long as they don't take shelter of Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad was trying to, because he was happy, he found out that Krishna was actually a nice person, that he wasn't a nice person. We may criticize and blame Krishna for not being a good person, but actually it's the conditioned souls in the material world who are bad. They're bad because they've voluntarily put themselves with misconceptions into the position of devotional service like Prahlad Maharaj. If one merges one's consciousness into Krishna consciousness, then one's life actually becomes auspicious. Then everything becomes blissful, like Prahlad said, and there will be no more problems. So Krishna consciousness is very simple, very consistent. Take shelter of Krishna, and then our problems will actually be solved. Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearance day shows us that we should follow Prahlad's footsteps, become blissful by absorbing our mind and thinking about Krishna, and not follow Hiranyakashipu's footsteps by absorbing our minds and thinking of making more and more gold, getting more and more gold, in order to enjoy a soft bed. I'll stop. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Some information.
About the
different Hiranyakashipu. Usually we find out about different Nrisimhadevas. You've investigated the different Hiranyakashipu. There's variety to the Hiranyakashipu. Yes, you can tell us about the different. That should be interesting. Which is your favorite Hiranyakashipu? Who is your favorite one? Did you want me to, you have information of the different Hiranyakashipus? Or you want me to tell you about the different Hiranyakashipus? There are different Nrisimhadevas. Sometimes he appears, you know, in different forms. Sometimes he has the body, he has the head of a, even the head of a boar. Nanda Maharaj is, Nrisimhadeva has the head of a, as a head of a raha. That's in Nandagram. But different Hiranyakashipus. Generally, Hiranyakashipu is a demon, a real demon. This Hiranyakashipu that's described here is actually a devotee. But in different millenniums, he's actually a demon. More than that, I don't really know.
This prayer to Lord Srinivasan, he says, well, please protect me from the front, please protect me from the back, protect me from the top at night and day. You know, it goes on and on. It doesn't seem like really prayer of which devotee is offering.
Why not? Turn around, you see Maya. You look up, you see Maya. So he has to protect us on all sides. So we don't see Maya, we only see him. To Nrisimha, Parato Nrisimha. That Lord Nrisimhadeva should be inside and outside of ourselves. Not that Lord Nrisimhadeva only protects our front, so we're Krishna conscious in the front. As soon as we turn around, wow, look at that. So he has to protect us in all sides so we remain Krishna conscious. Protection that he's offering us is not that, you know, a bullet's coming, we chant the Nrisimhadeva prayer, and the bullet disappears. No, we have to remain in Krishna consciousness. That's the protection. When Lord Nrisimhadeva, he rips apart Hiranyakashipu, we want him to rip apart our material desires. So that if there's no material desires, then there's no distraction from concentrating our mind upon Krishna. That's the protection that we want. That everywhere we remain in Krishna consciousness. Arakave Nitai Chandera Karuna Vaive. samsara vasanamoy mora kave tu chahave. That all our material, we pray to Lord Nityananda in the same way, that if we get his mercy, then all our material desires will become insignificant. So in the same way, we pray to Lord Nityananda to protect us so we can engage in our service to Krishna, at the same time we can actually be in Krishna consciousness. That he should rip apart all our material desires. By the bliss of Lord Nityananda, they become insignificant. And by the mercy of Lord Nishinadev, they get ripped apart, torn out of our heart. So either way is, because Lord Nityananda is probably a more pleasant way of getting free from our desires, but still, we don't always take shelter of Lord Nityananda, or take shelter of Lord Nityananda to get his mercy. So sometimes we have to pray to Lord Nishinadev that those attachments, which are very strong, that we stubbornly refuse to give up, that he'll rip them apart from our heart. Ganapati, I guess it's Ganapati or Ganapati? Ganapati. Ganapati, he's prayed to because he protects one materially. But Lord Nrisimhadev, he protects us spiritually. And Ganapati says he gets his power by putting his tumuli, his two tusks, on the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadev. So we're not praying to Lord Nrisimhadev for material protection, we're praying to him ultimately actually for spiritual protection. Yes? He stayed a while. Still in Harivarsha, that's his being worshipped there.
Yeah. Like normally you see like these prayers of pure devotees that they more emphasize the side of this, for example, Prabhupada also prays it, he says I have no devotion for Krishna. But here Prabhupada said that
I guess we have to take Prahlad's word for it. But this is prayers. In other words, he says, Naiva dvide paradharatya vayatarani. I don't want to cross over the ocean of material existence. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Adinamna Janamna Sundarim Kaivitam Vajagadisha Kamaye Mama Mamini Janani Janani Shre Bhavatad Bhakti Haitu Kitwai. He also didn't want to cross all material existence. He just wanted unalloyed service. So the devotees, they know they're absorbed in unalloyed service. They know they're blissful. It's not like, they don't know those things. They know they're Krishna conscious. It's not that when they see Krishna, they don't think, well, there's Krishna, he has a flute, but I guess I'm still not conscious of him. No, they know that. But they know it's by the mercy of their spiritual master in Krishna, by the mercy of the other devotees, that they're in such a nice position. And that way, they don't think it's by their mercy, by their good qualities they've gotten to that position. They think it's by the mercy of the others they've received such a fortunate position. So there's a difference between saying that I'm completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Another person saying that you actually have no qualification. I mean, after all, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have Śrīla Krishnadas Kaviraj Thakura. He's relating that he's lower than the worm and stool, that whoever chants his name becomes sinful, etc. But he's written Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's accepted by all the Vaishnavas. He got permission directly from all the elder Vaishnavas, Madan Mohan, I think it was Sri Govinda. When he prayed to him, then the garland fell from his neck and was offered to him by the Prajari. So he knew something was going on, but he just didn't think it was by his good qualities. He felt it was by the mercy of the devotees that he was in such a nice position. Yes.
And in the beginning of your class, you mentioned that one man's name is Krishna and Ramachandra. I forgot the term.
Paravasta.
Paravasta. I heard that they also pull a Bhagavan, which is not enjoying. And I was wondering what makes them distinguish from all the other incarnations.
Well, I don't know. Lord Ramachandra is not Purna Bhagavan. He doesn't display all the qualities of Bhagavan. So I don't know where that came from. Para Vasta. Ava. Sta means stand. In Sanskrit, you add S-T-H-A-N-D. So it means to stand, to be situated. Stiti means to be in some place. Ava means to be standing, and para above the others. So they stand above the others, but it's not mentioned that Purna Bhagavan, because generally we take Purna Bhagavan as one who has all the qualities, such as playing on the flute, surrounded by loving associates, unexcelled beauty, and playing on the flute. What was the other one? What's that? Wonderful childhood pastimes. But Lord Ramachandra is not in that category, because when the sages of what was the forest?
Dandakaranya.
When they saw Lord Ramachandra, they had developed kind of a love for him, but they understood that he was incomplete. Therefore, they prayed to become gopis in Vrindavan. And certainly, you know, Lord Nrsingadev doesn't display the same pastimes as Lord Krishna.
But then this term was wrong.
I don't know in what context. It may not have been wrong, but it's generally it's not considered that they're full manifestations of the incarnations of Krishna himself. The closest we get to that is Balaram. But Krishna is in a unique category. Even Krishna, when he's in Dwarka, he doesn't even display all his... Although he's still considered Purna Bhagavan, Swayam Rupa. But he doesn't display it. But the other incarnations, such as Lord Nrsingadev, they don't at all display all the qualities of Krishna. Although sometimes Krishna manifests, just like Lord Chaitanya, he became angry at the materialist and manifested his form as Lord Nrsingadev and went around Navadvipa threatening to kill everyone if they didn't become Krishna conscious. And then he became very morose afterwards, saying, "I've scared all the people." And Advaita Acharya came up to him and said, "Don't worry, you know, everyone who saw you became liberated." Very auspicious incarnation, but certainly not the full manifestation of Krishna. Maybe you can find that out. Sometimes different terms are used in different contexts too, to mean different things. So I think we can stop there. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Lord Nrsingadev ki jai. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Harani Kashi Guru ki jai.